Okay, can we have a slide up there? Welcome and good morning to Fit for Life. It's summer. It is. Look, check it out. Fit for Life. Summer starts. In fact, our 8-week summer series, we're going to take apart what it's like to be fit. You can probably tell from my shape that I'm talking more here about spiritual fitness than physical fitness. But let me just, could you, thanks Aidan, guard that, take it to the next destination. Right, I'm going to go. That boy's a natural. It's a natural. But just before I move into, I got some notes somewhere. Just before I move into spiritual fitness, just a very quick digression. So somebody go and tie him up. A very quick digression on physical fitness. Yesterday was the first day of, Friday was one of the first days of a new outreach program. We have to serve this community with God's love, to reach out, tell them we love them, and try and do something special for them. We opened our community cafe. Praise the Lord, it went like an absolute dream. But I'm telling you, physical fitness, whoo. Would those people who helped on Friday stand up, please? Come on. All of you who cooked or baked or drove cars or... You were amazing. Thank you so much, everyone. You were amazing. I went home about 4 o'clock from that. I thought I'd watch a bit of the golf, and I think I'll watch one shot before I was in a deep coma. I was tired, not physically fit. Okay. You'll forgive me if I keep turning my back on you. I don't normally do that because I'm quite nervous and I don't altogether know all of you. So I seldom turn my back on you. But our little monitor here is not working, so occasionally I have to check the screen behind me. But let's see how we do. Next slide. Oh, I've got a dibber, haven't I? Do I dib it? Let's try that. Wow. Good stuff. Sorry about the incompetence, team. Are you fit? If God came to you now and said, there's been a last-minute cancellation at the Olympics, and you're in. Are you ready to represent him? This is a serious matter, because God does ask you to represent him. In fact, you're his hands, his feet, his voice. There's only you that he's going to use to work out his purposes. It's amazing, baffling. Some might say almost silly, but it's you. You're Christ's ambassadors. You're God's agents. Are you fit? And what are the hallmarks of fitness, spiritual fitness? We're going to look at these over the next 8 weeks. We're going to ask you questions like, are you strong when the going's tough, strong under testing? Do you love others as you love yourself? Has your faith grown? Is it growing? Is your tongue tamed? Always a challenge, I think. Do you practice humility? Do you handle wealth well? Are you patient? That's kind of the bones of our 8-week series, and we'll be adding flesh to those week by week. And today, we're going to look at building strength. Are you strong under testing? I always like to start these little talks with, what exactly is the problem here? Then we can move on to the solution. You get me? Start with a problem, move to the solution. Well, the problem is, we all say, don't we? I want to be spiritually fit. I really do. But I get so busy. Life's really tough, you know, Steve. And there are a lot of distractions and other things that demand my time and energy, obstacles, barriers. You know what the problem is? The problem is problems. Life's problems. Life is full of problems. Have you noticed that? So what we're going to look at this morning is, how do you build strength when you're under testing, under trial, under troubles? The solution comes in two parts. Part one, I want you to get to know four fitness facts. This whole series is based on a book written by the brother of Jesus, James. It's a wonderful book because it's so practical. I don't suppose you can say down to earth of the Bible, can you? But you get my drift, you know. It's easy to follow. It's relatively easy to understand. Sometimes a bit harder to apply, I think we find. But there we are. This is what James says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Not if you face trials, not if you have problems, but when. Just to make sure you're all with me, I'm going to do a brief survey. If you have ever had any problems, or you're having problems, or you think in the future you might have problems, would you raise your hand, please? If there's anyone in front of you, behind you, near you, hasn't raised their hand, would you check their pulse? Seriously, the only people who haven't got problems are dead. They are. And do be careful what you wish for, by the way. If you wish for a life without any problems, you can figure that out for yourselves. Fitness fact number two. Problems are unpredictable. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I'm no Greek scholar. You all know me here, so I don't want to try and bluff it out here. But I checked this out. The Greek word used is peripipto, and it means to fall unexpectedly into, like falling into a hole you haven't seen. And do you know that with problems? They tend to come often when you least expect them, yeah? Ever helped someone and got kicked in the teeth? Ever invested money in a sure bet and lost it? You're with me. They come when it's unexpected. I ask you this. When's a good time to get a flat tire? When you say, oh, great. I've been waiting for that for a long time. Flat tire, good. No. See, life is full of banana skins. Problems are unpredictable. Hey? Who drafted this? Well, I'm not quite sure what this should say. But I think what it should say is problems are of many kinds, which is perhaps another word for unpredictable too. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Anyone here ever think they've got life cracked? Low show of hands there, isn't there? It bears out the resemblance that something always comes up and bites you in the bum. When you're least expecting it. Something you never thought had happened before. You thought you'd seen it all, and suddenly, yeah? My lovely wife will tell you, I'm not great at DIY. For me, DIY means don't involve yourself. But occasionally, we see a mark on the wall, and Karen says to me, you could just touch that up. I say, yeah. And you think, all I've got to do is match the paint. And you cut out a little bit of it, and you go up to V&Q. And, you know, once upon a time, it was red, white, and blue paint, wasn't it? But now it's sun-kissed buttermilk, yeah, English red rose, you know, lavender blue. It's impossible to match paint. There are millions of shades. And problems are like that. They come in many, many kinds. I was watching a car go by me the other day, and there was a bumper sticker on it, and it said this. It said, into every life some rain must fall, but this is ridiculous. Maybe it was an English bumper sticker now. You know, we used to think that of monsoon countries. So that is fitness fact number three. Fitness fact number four, problems are purposeful. Problems have a purpose. You might be sometimes thinking, oh no, not now, I can't, you know, I've got so much going on, I don't need this problem now. It's just happening, it's fate, it's random. No, it isn't. It's purposeful. Problems have a purpose. I flickered, thank you, darling. I need constant help in most things of life. This is so sadly true. They have a purpose. This is what James says. The testing of your faith produces perseverance, you know, that ability to keep going. You know, when the going gets tough, they get going. They keep going. Perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's a lot of words, isn't it? Mature and complete, not lacking anything. Anyone know a three-letter word that might sum that up? Fit. Yes, so that you're fit. Mature and complete. You're now spiritually fit. Yeah, you think, yeah, problems have a purpose. What purpose? Anyone here thinking, what purpose? Can we have a show of honesty? Anyone thinking, yes, Steve, right? Here are some purposes. Purpose number one of your problems, it helps purify your faith. Are you like me, a bit patchy? You have good days and bad days, good moments and bad moments. And there are times when you're just pleased God isn't watching you until you realize he is. You know, you have off moments. You'll need to have your faith refined through life's experience. If you were a metallurgist, you would take gold and silver and you would superheat it to burn off the dross. And problems help to burn off the dross in your life, to refine your faith. Some time ago, someone said to me, a little witty thing, I thought I'd put it on there. He said, Christians are like tea bags. You don't know what's inside of them until you put them in hot water. There's a lot of truth in that, you know, because sometimes when I'm in the car wearing my Jesus is Lord bumper sticker and somebody cuts me up, I'm not a great advert. I'm working on it. I really am. Promise me. Keep me to account on that. But I'm like a tea bag. I get in hot water. You see what's really inside. Not just what I say I'm going to do, what I believe I'm going to do, but what I actually do, yeah? It's a world of difference sometimes, yeah? Am I right? Smiling at you. Problems fortify patience. That's a big word for me. Strengthen patience. Increase patience. The testing of your faith develops perseverance. Before I came to Christ myself 10 years ago, I was a really angry man. I did not tolerate fools gladly. I was quite a powerful guy, so I got rid of fools. They were sacked. I have very little patience. Not nice, I'm sorry, but I'm different now, honest. But I remember as I came to faith, I thought, I've got to work on this patience thing. And I said to God, Father, give me more patience. Guess what happened? I got loads of problems. I got masses of problems. People went out of their way to irritate me, to do silly things. They did. It's true. But if God wants my patience to grow, he knows it's not going to grow in a nice smooth path, yeah? He knows that. If you ask for patience, chances are you'll get problems. It's problems that develop patience, and patience that builds strength and character. Karen often says to me, is it possible, Steve, to be a Christian in a jam on the M25? It's a good question. I put it to the test a few times. Purpose number three. Problems sanctify character. Another huge word, sanctify. To make righteous, to change bad things into better things and into good things, yeah? Perseverance so that you may be mature. Stop behaving like a spiritual kid. Grow up. Start behaving like the real deal. Yeah? I don't know if you know this. You probably know this much better than me. So apologies if I'm talking to the really mature here. But God's number one purpose in your life is to make you like his son. You may think it's to do stuff through you. And that is a purpose. But it's not the number one purpose. He can get stuff done through anyone. Our all-powerful God. Yeah? His number one purpose is to make you like his son. So guess what? He's going to let you go through. He's going to allow you to go through what his son went through. Sadness, rejection, loneliness. There's a little graphic up there which shows to you his son went through rather more than most of us are asked to go through. Yeah? I don't think anyone here today is being asked to go physically on a cross. God will put you through that kind of stuff. Okay, so four fitness facts. Fact number four, there is a purpose to the problem. You've got to see that. Okay. The solution, part two. You know, you may, I hope, identify with what I'm about to say. You may think, yeah, Steve, I like your style. You're quite an entertaining, sort of witty kind of guy, and I'm following what you're saying. Yeah, I can see that. I can profit from my problems. But if you're really honest with yourself, I think you'll be asking the question I have asked at literally hundreds of these kind of talks. As they're talking, I'm thinking, why BH? Why BH? I'm thinking, yes, Steve, but how? You say all this, I see it, I get it, but how? Are you going to tell me how? The flicker's flicked. It's handier when you can see that monitor, but handy when you don't play with it as well. Three R's, writing, reading, arithmetic. Bad joke. Rejoice, request, relax. Handling your problems, number one. Rejoice. James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy when you get problems. What on earth is he on about? Do you meet plastic people suffering in terrible trouble, but they've got a plastic grin? There's a kind of plastic mask there and a grimace also. And they say, oh, I'm really suffering. It's great. I've never been so poor. I'm enjoying it. We can't even afford food. It's wonderful. I'm rejoicing, brother. No, that's plastic. That's fake. That's not what James means. He doesn't mean rejoice for the circumstances. He means rejoice in them. Do you get me? Because in these circumstances, God is at work in your life in ways you've just seen. He's building you up. He's strengthening you. He's refining you. He's teaching you. Isn't that rejoicing that the God of the universe would spend time tutoring you? Are you excited by that? Maybe a murmur of appreciation. I don't know. Whatever. In everything, give thanks. Not for everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Handling your problems, number two, request. I don't know about you, but I often find when I'm under pressure, when I'm in trouble, that's often when I make my worst decisions. Yeah? I think I've got to sort this. I know what to do. Karen will laugh out loud in a minute. I'll say, leave this to me. No, when you're in trouble, that's the time to ask God for wisdom. You can say, I'm in a bit of a state here. I need your help. Otherwise, there's a chance I will react. And often I will react according to my old nature. Ask God. Ask God. It says here somewhere. Ask God who gives generously to all. If you ask God for wisdom in a time of trouble, would he give you wisdom? Well, six of you give wisdom to. I'm sorry about the other 294, but that's the way it goes, I'm afraid. Will he give it to him if you don't ask for it? No. Don't ask, you're not going to receive, are you? You have to ask. So pray, pray, pray when you're in problems. The first thing you should do is hit your knees or however you pray. I came to faith, funnily enough, in quite an old Anglican church, and I kind of was always hitting my knees, and it's kind of stuck with me. But you do it how it suits you. And you know, when you've got problems, don't be asking why. That's so human, isn't it? What age do we learn that? Is it 6 months or a year? Why, Mum? Why? I don't want to. Why? Whiny, whiny, why? Don't ask why. Ask what. What, God, do you want me to learn from this problem? What do you want me to learn from this problem? I'm going to thank you that I've got this problem. I'm going to look for something to learn from it. And that's going to strengthen me and build strength. I will become spiritually fitter. And lastly, we're nearly there. Relax. Relax. James says, when you ask, believe and not doubt. James talks about a lot of us who pray in a kind of double-minded way. Or maybe you will, maybe you won't, God. Or maybe I'll ask you to do this, but I've got this backup plan in case you don't respond, God, yeah? James describes it as a man who's double-minded, and the words he uses are like a drunk staggering about. Believe me, I have a degree in that. I know what that's like. But don't do that. Pray, ask God for wisdom, and trust him. In God we trust. A closing promise. I love this verse. Anyone here try and memorize scripture? I wish I saw a massive show of hands, because seriously, you need to. You need to get it in your heart and in your head. You really do. It's not a nag, and I'm no good at it, but I try. And this, I love this verse. Blessed is the man. Blessed, happy, joyful, satisfied, fulfilled, fit. Have I done it again? Oh no! I'm gonna change clickers next time. Blessed is the man. You're really happy, you're joyful, you're satisfied, yeah? Life is great. Blessed is the man who perseveres under problems, under trial. He who has stood the test will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Do you want to receive the crown of life? Get spiritually fit. Build your strength. Profit from your problems. Be fit for life. Can you spare me a moment's prayer? Some of you are not believers. I know there are a few here today. Don't think this is where it gets weird. We're just going to chat to God. We're going to ask him now for some help. And that's for you as well. Father, I've been looking out at some of these faces while I've been talking. And I know some of the people. And I know they have needs. Many, many needs. And I can see one or two people who have persistent problems. I've been going on for days and weeks, and there's just no sign of any relief. And I think they, Lord, like I have occasionally, have wanted to doubt you and say, what's going on? Why is this happening? Where are you, Lord? Which reminds me of those disciples in the boat, you know, when the storm came up, and they said, turned on Jesus, don't you care? We're drowning. Well, he does care, and you know he cares. And because you care, Lord, we have to accept, we have to grasp this simple truth, that you're allowing these situations into our lives, not to break us, but to make us, not to destroy us, but to develop us. So Lord, help us be triumphant under trials. Help us to learn from James how to suffer successfully, how to profit from our problems, how to be positive under pressure. Please, Father, work in our lives in this way, we pray. For our growth and for your glory. Amen. I'm conscious there may be people here who've got some real issues today. And at the end of the gathering here, we always have a little prayer zone. Probably down there, is it, Pete? Yeah. And if you want to, you know, something's really burdening you and you would love someone to sit with you and go over those things and seek God with you in that, it's such a help sometimes. Have someone hold your hand, I find. And, you know, if that's you, please take advantage of that. Now, I'm being very presumptuous here, but I sense a real thirst for fitness here. So what I know is that statistics tell me this, that by tomorrow lunchtime, most people won't even remember the title of the talk. Never mind who gave it and what he said. So, if you want to get fit over the next 8 weeks, I challenge you, come and see me, not that I'm doing them all, come and see whoever's doing it, and ask for this outline. And take it away and skim through it and say, I'm going to get fit. I'm going to push some weights, baby. Yeah? Because it doesn't just happen. Getting fit is work. Dare I use the word discipline? We've spoken a lot about problems, and we're going to close with a song which addresses this. And it says that we, Lord, when the winds blow, when the rain lashes, when the world's really against us, we will not fall over. We will not bend. We will not quit. We will stand. We will stand in the strength of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So bless your hearts. Stand and sing this lovely song.